Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. The film is called Peak Season, and it tracks the story of New York yuppies Amy and Max during their time in the wealthy resort town of Jackson Hole, Wyoming, while on a summer vacation. Amy wants to enjoy a romantic getaway with her fiancé, but Max neglects Amy to spend the week working, leaving her to wander the town alone. Amy finds a friend in Lauren, a local wilderness guide, who takes her fly fishing. She's immediately drawn to this magnetic, free-spirited stranger. The film, again, is called Peak Season, and we're joined today by the co-directors and co-producers and co-writers, Stephen Kantner and Henry Lovner. To both of you, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. I want to begin our conversation by talking about something that is very personal to me and relatable to the film Peak Season, in that when I got out of college, I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I ended up moving to a mountain resort town, and watching Peak Season, watching the people in the film as they were as characters in the film, was completely relatable to me. Kind of the dynamic of someone living in a mountain resort town as to the people who come there to visit, to have fun, to be on vacation. So a lot of this film resonated with me on a very different level than maybe a lot of people watching it would. But it's also very relatable in terms of just, it's about relationships. What's next in my life? Where am I going? What was the inspiration for writing the script and for going forward with making Peak Season? Henry, I'll start with you.
My family has been living in Wyoming for the last 15 years or so. And I spent a ton of time there growing up. I spent summers in Wyoming. And so I had been eager to make a film in Jackson Hole for a long time. So after Stephen and I finished our first feature called The End of Us, yeah, we were looking for, what's going to be our next project. I had written a script, an early draft of Peak Season, that I delivered to Stephen and said, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And he responded to the material, and we both just started workshopping the idea and honing the story. But it's very much inspired by many wilderness guides that I've come to know over the years. And we also did quite a bit of research in interviewing rafting guides and ski bums and so forth to just get a better understanding of the lifestyle. And then, not to mention, we certainly relate pretty deeply to Amy's character, as we live in Los Angeles, and every time we get the opportunity to visit Jackson, we certainly think about staying. So
yeah. Well, Stephen Kantner, in terms of the setting, was obviously from the beginning what you were, it's a huge character, if you will, in the film, because being in Jackson Hole, again, as someone who lived in a mountain community, I thought you did a great job of capturing kind of the ambiance of that. Let's talk a little bit about exploring that space in terms of its relationship to the story.
Absolutely. I mean, well, as Henry mentioned, in those first drafts of the script that he wrote, the environment and the location was almost written in like a character. I remember there were scene descriptions and even just moments where it's like we're just taking in the scenery. And for me personally, I actually had a very inverse relationship to the Jackson area in Wyoming in general, because I actually never visited, and I'd always wanted to visit. And so I personally felt a little bit trepidatious just not having actually been there until the week or so before when we came to visit and scout. You know, ultimately it was just personally for me, it was amazing to both visit this incredible location and actually feel what Henry was talking about in that script, where anytime you visit a place like that, you just feel like you're thinking differently. You're sort of emotionally more sensitive, and I felt like very much if I didn't identify with Amy enough beforehand, I certainly did by the time we got there and we started working. So, from my perspective, it was very easy to sort of always be thinking about how this environment, how this location, is worth sort of sitting with and worth being patient filmically and also just with the characters. Like it's impacting them and they're impacting it.
Yeah.
So
Having lived in a mountain community, it's impossible to spend time in an environment like that and not understand the scale of your relationship to nature and to each other. And oh, there's something about the scale of it that it forces you to consider your place in the world. And I think that's an important part of the story. All of these characters are trying to figure out their place in the world. And what I love about the way you were able to develop these characters is the lack of judgment in terms of all of these characters. But is that sound right, Henry, in terms of in a place like this, you just have to think about your own mortality, your own where you are, what place you are in the world, the bigger picture. Does that sound right?
Absolutely. I mean, it does, like any good camping trip, forces you to kind of zoom out and gives you some objectivity on your own life. That was certainly the primary theme that we wanted to explore with this story, is how Amy's experience in Wyoming in this alien environment, so different from her home in New York City, encourages her to reevaluate her relationship, her career, everything about her life. Yeah, I'm glad that that resonated so deeply with you.
Oh my God, Claudia Restrepo is well, they're all great. I mean, everybody, again, the sort of the interaction between the characters, they're just wonderful performers. And I know you, having worked with them on your previous film, you had some idea what you're going to get from them. But I just felt like I was eavesdropping on their conversations as much as I was watching them. And I think, Stephen, that for me is a sign of just your ability to write dialogue, but also just how good these actors are in this film.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, if there's one thing that I think Henry and I talk about, whether it's with our own work or even just what we sort of find commonality in sort of our taste and film and TV that we enjoy. I mean, it might sound trite to say, but it is true that it does always start with character, and you can have the most miraculous Jackson Hole, Wyoming environment, and if the characters aren't believable, it's probably not going to resonate as well as it could. We talked about very early on, what we would sort of gain again working with friends of ours and collaborators who are creatives in their own right beyond just acting. Derek, Claudia, Ben Coleman, they all are very creative writers and directors and producers, and so that aspect to them, it just helps. We all sort of have just a very, very similar approach to how we create film, how we create stories.
Yeah. One of my favorite scenes in the film is when Lauren, played by Derek de Blasis, who plays Lauren, who's the guide, who's the man who lives in this, who's kind of on the economic margins of society. And that's another element in the film, kind of the juxtaposition of a wealthy mountain resort with the people who actually work there and try to get by. And one of my favorite scenes is when he's describing the geological history of the area. They're just sitting there in this incredible scene behind them, and he's describing to them the history of this part of the world. And I just thought that was just a wonderful scene. I think it just says so much about what we've been talking, at least what I've been talking about in terms of scale and relationship to that. I just love that scene. So I don't have a question.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, that also to us, we try to not just like be too on the nose about some of the themes of the film, because sometimes we can find that grating if we watch a movie and like the characters are just literally spouting like the core themes of the movie. So I think we maybe even trimmed some dialogue from that scene in the final edit, but that scene does, we attempted to encapsulate like the fundamental themes of the movie in that one scene, which is this idea of inertia, which is both the geological force that has created the mountain range, the collision of tectonic plates that creates the mountain range, but also is a force that's dictating the course of events in their lives. Meaning, Amy is on a trajectory in her life. She feels very dissatisfied, but wonders whether she has the courage to make changes and to fight against the forces of inertia that are pushing her in one direction. And the same for Lauren. I mean, it's clear that he's really struggling as a mountain guide, despite the fact that he claims that he's sort of living his dream. He's also, as you mentioned, living on the margins of society. He's you know, sleeping in his car. It's implied that he has a bit of a drinking problem. And he too, it's not clear whether he's going to have the courage to make changes in his life. So I'm glad that scene resonated, because to us that really is like the foundation of the movie.
And it felt natural, so it was not too on the nose, as you put it. It felt exactly organic, because she was becoming familiar with him and understanding why there's such a pull, such a draw to live in a place like that. So I thought that was really right on. And I also, Ben Coleman, who plays Max Rosen, who is the fiance to Amy's character, and I liked that he was a definite. You knew what he was about. He wasn't. He didn't like this. This is him. This is his life. He's from New York. He's a go-getter. He's a mover, shaker. But he comes across it much more humanizing than generally you would get from a character like this. He's very much more human, and he does care about Amy. It's she's not a trophy wife. She's not something that is checking. He's checking the checklist of things that he has to do. I love the fact that they had a real bond with each other.
Well, we definitely appreciate that you feel that way, because you're right on the money with how Henry and I sort of talked about ways of approaching Max's character, Amy's, fiance. It was certainly, I think, one of the maybe one of the trickier sort of performance and sort of direction, at least conversations, because there are so many ways you can play it. And fortunately, Ben Coleman is just an absolute gem. We love working with him so much, because he's not only a very talented actor, he can dial things up like I've never seen. Just to sort of find it, I think the first few scenes that we shot with him, we would go, okay, let's take it up to 10. This is Bradley Cooper in Wedding Crashers. Let's just see you be a total asshole. Okay, that's definitely not it. Now let's go, you are, the most sort of warm, kind. And we would just sort of find it with him. And fortunately, you can't do that with a lot of actors, but he's so open to that kind of process while we're shooting, that eventually fortunately, we did, I think, find a balance with his character.
What I found fascinating was both of them, in a manner of speaking, felt like there was temptation was waved in front of them. At the beginning of the film, Max runs across a woman that it looks like he may have had something. I mean, the vibe was they had something going on before. And then, of course, the relationship that develops between Amy and Lauren. I mean, so they all have, there's this kind of, well, what is next? What am I going to do? How is this going to play out? Is this a vacation thing? Is this something else? And so it's cool. I mean, I just love the fact that everything is kind of dialed down in the film. You get to go along for the ride, and just terrific work. I just really thrilled with the way this film played out. The reaction of the film so far. I mean, I know we're just getting into release, but how's the film been doing in terms of, it was at South by Southwest? What, Henry, how did it go?
I mean, it was incredible. We had premiered at South by Southwest in 2021 with our first film, but it was the pandemic year, and so it was all remote. And getting the opportunity to attend the festival in person and having an audience in the theater to watch it real time was a peak experience for us. It was really amazing, and people have really responded to it. It's been interesting to see a lot of the questions that you're raising in this conversation have come up so many times in our Q&As, and that comes across, like, from audiences in Austin, Texas, to audiences in San Diego, to Idaho, to New York. Like, I think there, we were very fortunate to strike upon a story that has a sort of universal relatability to it. I think everyone understands what it's like to find themselves at a crossroads in their life and question whether they should burn their whole life down and move to the woods. So that piece of it has been great. There's also been some really funny debate that's gone on in the audience in the Q&As about, like, what happens in the story after the credits roll, right? What happens with Amy and Max? What happens with Amy and Lauren? What is the, is there a sequel? So it's fun to see people engage with the story in that way and have differing opinions about what the future holds. So without giving too much
No,
away.
no, no, you won't. But there is, I will say, there's the faint hint of a kind of the graduate moment at the end of the graduate. There's a feeling like, well, maybe she turn, maybe she gets on the bus back to Jackson Hole, and they get on a bus and go somewhere. I mean, there that has a. I'm not gonna. I don't know if I should. Did I
No,
go too far? Did
that's
I
good.
should
Any
say that?
comparison to The Graduate, we appreciate.
But you can't help it. And that's another thing about the film. You get to these places in the film, and it just feels like, yeah, I could see this. I could see all of these things playing out the way that they did, or other ways as well. So, well, Mike, congratulations. If you want to know more about the film, you can go to visitfilms.com. Peak Season is there. Is there another site we could send? Was peakseasonfilm.com as well?
Yes,
That's where.
peakseasonfilm.com. That's going to have all the info about theatrical screenings, how to support the film, and eventually video on demand information. So
It's going to be screening in Los Angeles, right?
it will, yes, we'll be screening in cities across the country. I think we're in about 13 different cities. So yeah, you can find out all the different locations online.
That's on me. I should have known.
Cool.
In fact, I know. In fact, I did look at this in California. They're here. I mean, all over California, starting on August 2nd. It'll be in Glendale at the Look Cinema. That's a new theater chain I've never seen. Look Cinemas. Lumiere and Music Hall, Look Cinemas in Monrovia, Redlands, Long Beach, Fairfield, and across the country. Just as you said, you'd be looking for it if you're listening to a conversation. Go to peakseasonfilm.com. You can find out all that information. Well, my congratulations to you and both of you. And my God, did anybody do anything else but you guys? I mean, it's director, producer, writer, cinematographer, editors. And composer Stephen, you also composed for the film. And by the way, I love the music in the film, by the way, terrific stuff. So
Oh,
thanks.
thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we should also shout out Patrick Ward, who is one of our producers, who is just has been absolutely essential, especially with our small crew and being on location for so much of the movie. I mean, he was our Swiss Army man, yeah, we always have to shout him out. But yeah, very much appreciate speaking with you, Mike.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Again, the film is called Peak Season. We've been joined by Stephen Kantner and Henry Lovner. Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you. It's been
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.